It is time to try and unpack what has been going on at AEW. Now, we had the pay-per-view All Out. CM Punk defeated Jon Moxley to become AEW champion. Tony Khan holds a media scrum at the end of
a press conference. Thinks he's UFC all of a sudden.
Press conference at the end of every pay-per-view. CM Punk, basically, he's been having issues with Hangman Page. Hangman came out during one of his promos and basically said, "You don't look out for the workers, even though you said you do." Then Punk came out and did a promo where he basically called out Page and then, yeah, called him a bitch for not coming out, even though Page had no idea he was talking about him. He was in catering at the time. So they've kind of, you know, gone off script a few times at each other. One of the reporters seemed to bring up Colt Cabana, which is a bit of a thorn in CM Punk's side. Used to be best friends. Punk was, you know, paying his bills, and then, you know, they had a falling out. Cabana took Punk to court. They've got a very messy relationship. Obviously, Cabana was in Dark Order, and he's now been moved to Ring of Honor. And there is lots of rumors flying around that is because of Punk that he was moved to Ring of Honor. Essentially, as Punk refers, he thought it was leaked by the Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman. They fueled the rumors. So there's all this going on. Punk's, you know, had a question thrown at him about Cabana, and then just unleashed.
He just didn't stop. He just went crazy about him.
Unleashed.
And then he said, when you've got EVPs that are running the show, it's like they're running around like kids. And he just kept going. Like, he didn't say anything. You could just see Tony Khan's face was like, oh. Like,
He called Hangman an empty, effing headed, dumb F. So, yeah, he just unloaded. And poor Tony was, you know, kind of, he was a deer in the headlights at that point. So after this, after he's come and slammed everyone, including the EVPs, they've come to see him after the press conference. While the rest of the press conference is going on, but backstage, there's been an altercation. There's been, you know, 7 or 8 people in fisticuffs.
Chairs thrown, apparently.
Now, you know, quite a few people got involved. So because of all this, Punk has been stripped of the AEW title. The Bucks and Kenny Omega have been stripped of the Trios titles. And we've had 7 people suspended. The Bucks, Kenny Omega, Brandon Cutler, Pat Buck, Michael Nakazawa, Christopher Daniels, and Ace Steel has been taken off the road. Now, we don't have any report on what has happened with CM Punk yet, but he did get injured during his match, which is going to put him out for 6 months.
So he would have had the title stripped anyway, but, I mean, the injuries just added to the woes, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, lucky for Hangman, he had left the building already.
Yeah, he would have been involved for sure.
I'm sure he would have been there. So Hangman was not involved. He's not been suspended. Reports are that Punk has met with Tony Khan already to figure out steps going on. Yeah, what do you make of all of this nonsense, Benny?
Craziness, isn't it? Craziness. Like, you and I have gone back and forth in a couple of text messages about it, and I've said, look, they need to just sort it out, obviously. But I don't know if they can do it, you know? Like, it's just too much going on, and Punk's just too hot-headed. Like, he just doesn't give up, you know what I mean? Like, he just seems to not give up about anything.
No. And, I mean, there's 2 ways they can go, right? They can probably have to get rid of Punk if they want to keep the EVPs happy, or if they can come together and work their stuff out. It could be a mammoth angle.
Oh, I was going to say, turn it into a work, and then, you know, you've got something fire. But they only need one little thing to go wrong during that whole process, and it ruins that whole angle, and then that's it. You know what I mean? And it blows up AEW.
I'm a massive Punk mark, but he probably can't be trusted to stay
the course.
Level-headed.
Yeah. I think you texted it to me saying it's got a feel of WCW with the patients running the asylum a little bit about it.
It does a little.
And it's I completely agree. So
this was before the suspension. So Tony, he needed to do something, and I'm glad he did suspensions. Yeah, he's got to let them know that this is not on.
He's the boss, and that's it. You know, he's got to, the buck stops with him, essentially. So he's got to do, oh, pardon the pun, but yeah, it goes from there.
So, yes, so craziness. We've got no AEW champion, no trios champions. They were put on the line on Dynamite, and Death Triangle are the new trios title holders. As for the AEW championship, it is now in a tournament of champions where we've got Danielson against Jericho next week and John Moxley taking on the winner of Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin. That match has already happened. We won't spoil it for those who are watching Rampage tomorrow. But yes, Benny, quick pick for your new AEW champion, which will be crowned at Grand Slam.
Jericho.
I'm going with Danielson.
Yeah.
I think it's time. I think it's time to give him the title.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, considering, well,
he hasn't been champion yet.
Spoiler. Well, that's the thing. Spoiler from the pay-per-view. But, you know, after that other victory, I guess that makes sense for Danielson to take over there.
Get one back. So, yes, we had MJF.
If that's the case, I don't like it.
You don't like it. We had MJF return at the pay-per-view. A little bit overshadowed, I guess, by everything we've just talked about. But in the moment, great stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was. I think... obviously, the way it happened seemed a bit weird, and then we found out at the very end. And the very end, how it happened was amazing.
So he did a promo on Dynamite where he came out as the babyface. He's in Buffalo. He has a Josh Allen jersey on. You know, the crowd are chanting it, and he was just, you know, like really facing it up, like too much.
Yeah, and because I said to you the other day, I said, you know, there's a chance he could end up a face. Like pretty soon after all of this, you know what I mean? Like if they play it right.
So at the post media scrum, Jericho said in a year he's going to be the biggest face we have in this company.
Yeah, and then that's when I responded. It could be sooner rather than later with all this punk stuff going on.
Yeah,
and then he comes out and I was like, wow, this is weird. Like he's very much face right now. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, he just turned.
Yeah, Mox came out and he flicked the switch.
Like that.
Starts talking about, you know, Cody Rhodes and quotes Triple H.
Nick Khan.
Yeah, it was good stuff from MJF.
He exactly. Everybody's name. I loved it.
Exactly what you want. So yes, plenty going on there. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that's going on in AEW. Bobby Fish's contract has not been renewed. He is now a free agent.
I can't see him going back to WWE at this stage.
I mean, Bobby Fish is in his mid-40s. He's not a young guy.
Nah. And Kyle O'Reilly's still out injured as well. He just had neck surgery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's probably why they're thinking they can't do anything with Bobby without Kyle, maybe. And Adam Cole's still not around.
In saying that, Roderick Strong could use his help on NXT.
Yeah.
I don't know. We will see. But, yes, Bobby Fish done with AEW for now. We have Daniel Garcia. He's the new Ring of Honor pure champion after Dynamite beating Wheeler Yuta.
What's an interesting match?
It was. I mean, Garcia is great. Granted, I think his promo work has a bit of work to do, but that's not him. He's the technical guy, and he does a great job of it.
Yeah, the hometown boy got the win, so.
Hometown boy got the win.
You know, Bryan Danielson came out afterwards and put the title around him. Jericho wasn't happy, which sets up their match.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Now, I think we may have seen the last of Malakai Black in AEW. He was asked for and granted his release.
Well, after the pay-per-view, you've seen him walking out, waving at the fans, blowing kisses and stuff like that. So it was speculated at the time that he was done. We had heard that he'd been asking to get out, and originally it was declined, but now he has been granted the release. There's another person, that big Triple H guy.
Yeah.
So you could see him back.
I mean, he cited mental health issues.
There could be a clause in there that says you can't go back to WWE within a certain time or something.
We will see. But yeah, best of luck to Alistair / Malakai Black. Hopefully we'll see him again soon. Now, we did mention, Benny, Dynamite Grand Slam coming up. Got a couple of big matches already. As we mentioned, we've got the final of the Tournament of Champions. We've got Swerve and Our Glory taking on the Acclaimed once again, which will be absolutely great. Scissor me daddy ass.
Scissor me daddy ass.
And not confirmed, but I have a feeling it's going to happen. We're going to have Action Bronson and Hook taking on the team formerly known as 2.0. Cool yeah. Hand and Daddy Magic, whatever they want to be called.
Well, yeah, well, obviously he came out in 0 Hour to help Hook, so yeah, should we get into that?
Speaking of 0 Hour, let's get into this giant all-out card, Benny. Let's knock it out. We have the Mixed Tag Team Championship match for the AAA Mixed Tag Team titles. Sammy Guevara, Ty Mello, Ortiz, and Soho got kicked off in an unexpected fashion. Ortiz and Ruby hitting Guevara with a golf cart as they chase them from the back. In the end, it was a tie KO on Ruby Soho for the win.
Yeah. I think that we all knew that was going to go that way. One count for me was an okay match. It did what it needed to do. Yeah. But
One count for me. I think Ty can start looking at doing something else, maybe attacking some of the belt holders, you know, try and bring some gold to the JAS, something like that.
Yeah.
Moving on, the FTW Championship match, Hook and Cool Hand Angelo Parker. It's probably the most offense someone has gotten in on Hook, the most selling Hook's really had to do so far.
100%, exactly what I wrote. We haven't seen him take that much damage or anything like that. So not that there was that much, but it was still more than what we've actually seen.
He sold pretty well. He's getting there. That'll be another thing that's just going to take a bit of time, but he ended up locking in the red rum for the win. You know, he got attacked by Daddy Magic afterwards, and Action Bronson came to the ring to help him out, and Action Bronson looks pretty strong, to be honest.
I'm a big Action Bronson fan. I love Action Bronson. I watch his videos all the time and stuff. So,
F That's Delicious is a great show.
Yeah, exactly. So when I seen him coming out, I was like, oh, brilliant. This is cool. But I'm not a big Hook fan. So, I mean, but yeah, I guess, you know, he's in there. So I only gave that a one count as well. Yeah.
I gave it a 1.5. I just enjoyed the shenanigans with it. And I enjoyed seeing Hook kind of, you know, do a little something a little bit different, take some punishment. We then had the All-Atlantic Championship match, Park and Kip Sabian. Great aerial skills from both men, but the bastard hits the black arrow for the win. I gave it a 1.5.
1.5 count for me too. It was a fun match. They both got in their moves. You know, they're both a little bit technical, a bit aerial. You know, it was fun what it did.
Yeah. That was good for Sabian. You know,
haven't seen him for ages.
Haven't seen him for quite a while, so he looked pretty good. I think this might be done. I think Park's got a lot on his plate right now.
Well, this is what I was like. The Trios Championship, now that he's got that as well, it's sort of, I didn't understand the booking for them winning the Trios Championship. That was a bit weird for me.
Yeah, I don't think they planned it too far.
Fair enough, too.
We then had Eddie Kingston and Tomohiro Ishii 2. These two men just beat the tar out of each other for 20 minutes.
Chop fest.
Just a chop fest. Kingston ends up picking up the win.
It was stiff. It was a stiff match.
Yes, stiff is an understatement.
Yeah,
I gave it a 2 count. I think they'll have a rubber match eventually, but you know, I think Kingston and him are done for in AEW for a while, and probably time for Kingston to move back up that card. Not that I'm a huge Kingston mark, but
no, me neither. 1.5 count for me.
Just what a pre-show match should be. We then get into the main match. We've got the casino ladder match. You guys know who was in it. Plenty of big spots, including a sunset flip powerbomb from Andrade on Yuta.
From one to another.
That was great. Ended in Stokely Hathaway coming down with his new stable. They took everyone out. He grabbed the poker chip, and then Sympathy for the Devil starts playing. The Rolling Stones hit, and the Joker makes his way, you know, in full mask. T's taking the mask off, which at the time sucked, but in hindsight, it was a good move.
Worked brilliantly once we seen the payoff, it was perfect.
Yeah,
but at the absolutely. Time we were like, "Come on!"
Now you messaged me about that song too that he came out to.
Oh yeah, so apparently I forgot about that. So apparently AEW put a tweet out not long ago, or like when MJF was having his issues, and it was something along the lines of, "Don't have any sympathy for MJF because he doesn't have any for the devil," or something along those lines. And now we obviously know that, you know, he came out to Sympathy of the Devil and he was the Joker. And it's an interesting little twist, you know, playing the long game on that kind of thing, if that's what they were doing.
Yeah. So it's very meta. I gave it a 1.5 count. It was a good ladder match. It wasn't great.
I gave it a 1.5 count as well. It had its spots. But what annoys me is, why have them staggered entrance if anybody can win it at any time?
Yeah.
It seems like it defeats the purpose for me.
And there was a time too when Rush and Andrade were the only ones in the ring. And it almost looked like he was saying Andrade climbed the ladder and then they decided to do a bit of offense. And it kind of didn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly right.
But
1.5 kept for me as well.
So, yeah, the Joker/MJF, he gets the chip and he's going to take on the winner of whoever wins the AEW title now. The Trios Championship Tournament Final, obviously, things have changed, but we had the Elite against Hangman and the Dark Order. For the match, you know, they're all masters of their craft. It was a fun match. So many great false finishes. You know, there's about three times Johnny Hungy looked like he had the win. So that was really fun, and the crowd were popping for it hard.
Silver was great in the match as well.
Yeah, you know, very underrated worker, I think.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Ended up Paige accidentally hit Silver with the buckshot lariat, and Omega got the pin. What do you think, Benny?
2 count for me. I thought it was a great match. They all got their spots in again, and it sort of just broke down into a lot of different things. You know, that 4-way super kick that they went for was pretty cool, I thought. It was good. It was a good match. Once it got moving, it was sort of slow to start, but once it got moving, it really sort of kicked off, and that's where it picked me up a little bit and got me a 2 count.
I agree. I gave it a 2 count as well. As to what we see now, you know, maybe the Elite eventually come back and, you know, take on Death Triangle, which will be that'll be a great match as well. And it looks like the Dark Order are kind of doing their thing with Andrade at the moment.
A bit of a split.
So we will see. TBS Championship match, Jade Cargill and Athena. Cargill busted through some bricks. She was dressed as She-Hulk, and that may have been the highlight of the match. It should have been a much better match. Cargill hit Jaded for the win.
Athena got in a bit more offense than I thought she would, but it was still a dominant victory from Cargill.
Yeah.
I gave it a 1 count, half for the match and half for the entrance.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I gave it a 1 count too. They just didn't have chemistry. I don't know what it was.
Even the build-up to the match just didn't seem like it had that much chemistry, you know what I mean? So, Cargill 37-0 now.
We say this every pay-per-view, Benny. What do we do with Cargill now? Where do we go now?
It's just going to have to keep rolling on. I think until somebody bigger than her comes in and beats her. And I just don't know who's out there. Like, do they bring in Nia Jax or somebody like that?
Well, I mean, my thought process has now gone to what would be interesting to know that they're going to lose. So, you know, I think it would be good to have her take on a heel. She's got, you know, the kind of slight face turn now. Yeah. Have like a really slithery, slimy heel who can...
Like Ty Conti,
like Anna Jay now, who could maybe cheat their way to a win. I'm not saying they will get the win, but there's that, you know, will they, won't they be able to do it? Or maybe we go a completely different direction. We have a take on Abaddon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as for who can beat her for the title, I'll give up. I give up.
There's not many out there.
We then had another Trios tag team match, Wardlow and FTR against Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. Great matchup. Everyone got their time to shine. I always love seeing the Machine Guns in action. Yeah. Wardlow got the win for his team with a Powerbomb Symphony on Lethal. And just when it looked like the heels were about to attack, Samoa Joe makes his return to even the odds. I gave this one a 2 count.
Ooh, I gave it a 1.5 count. Some great tag wrestling, obviously what we expected from FTR and the Motor City Machine Guns in there. You know, Lethal got in some licks as well, you know, but he ate that pin hard at the end. Like,
he did.
He looked like a ragdoll at the end. So, and then obviously Samoa Joe, good to see him back.
It is. I want a FTR Machine Guns just straight up tag match for some belts.
I think it could happen, definitely.
I feel like Wardlow, he's kind of in this same thing as Cargill right now. Like, who's going to beat him? What would make an interesting opponent for him?
There's no, unless if Samoa Joe turns on him or something like that, that'd be an interesting match.
I've got one for you. Miro.
Yeah.
Would be hard for Miro because he's probably going to lose that one, but
Miro eats too many pins, man.
Yeah. That is true. All right, moving on. Singles match, Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs in a very weirdly booked match that was almost
booked match.
It was almost a squash. Yeah, Powerhouse got the pin on Starks after a spine buster. I feel like this is obviously leading to a much bigger program. And we all want to see Starks get his back. But yeah, it was a very disappointing pay-per-view match.
Yeah, I gave it a one count myself, but I think I gave it a one count because I thought that Starks was going to get that comeback and get the victory.
Yeah.
And Hobbs just turns around and just goes bang and it's all over. 1, 2, 3. The crowd weren't happy. No. Everyone was flat as after that. So
I gave it a half count. It was not even a match, you know, and disappointing ending. What was not disappointing was the AEW Tag Team Championship match, Swerve and Our Glory against the Acclaimed. One of the hottest crowds for a match I think I've ever seen.
So much, but they just didn't stop chanting, did they? And like
everybody does love the Acclaim.
They do.
Scissor me, daddy. Great stuff. Just ringing out around the arena.
Brilliant.
And it was a great match from bell to bell. Plenty of false finishes. You know, slight heel turn from Keith Lee at one point, which was handled masterfully.
He's a big man too, isn't he?
Well, Caster picking him up for a slam.
I was just going to say, I literally wrote that. Keith's a big man, but Caster looks huge as well for the way he picked him up. That was crazy.
Picked him up for the slam. He even got some love from John Cena on Instagram of like a...
He just tweeted...
Yeah, John Cena's Instagram is just pictures. He doesn't write anything.
Yeah.
And it was just the picture of Caster with Lee on his back. And I think Caster then retweeted a picture of Cena doing the same thing to Big Show.
Big Show,
So that was good. But Lee and Swerve end up getting the win after a powerbomb stomp combo.
I think the injury to Bowen sort of hurt the match a little bit. I don't know if it was a real injury or not. I think it was meant to be a work, but then I think he actually was injured at one stage there.
I think it's a work and he's just a good actor.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was actually injured. It was very hard to tell. So either way, if he's got me, he's got me. You know what I mean? But the crowd were just so over it. It was a really fun match.
What'd you give it?
Oh, I gave it a two.
I gave it a three count. Match of the night.
It wasn't that good.
It was the match of the night.
It wasn't that good.
During the post-match, the post-event media scrum, they had Swerve and Keith Lee there. And TK was basically said, look, that was incredible. We should probably book this for Grand Slam. And Swerve was not happy. Swerve came out on Dynamite and cut off the rap for the Acclaimed. They've got this kind of like slight heel turn thing going on, which is going to be great. I'm looking forward to Grand Slam. Who wins at Grand Slam, Benny?
The crowd will riot. There'll be signs in this thing that said if the Acclaimed don't win, we riot. But I think Swerve hold on again.
I think they'll get him again. All right.
I know they're your boys, but sorry.
Well, I think
especially if they go full heel.
Yeah.
It's a full double turn, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen very often.
No, I mean, I think they could get an even better match at full gear if Swerve and Keith Lee keep the titles at this one.
Keep the titles, yeah.
So we'll see where they go with it. We're moving on to the AEW Interim Women's World Championship Fatal 4-Way, Storm, Baker, Hayter, and Shida. Baker and Hayter took out Shida on the stage. So she was gone. They focused on Storm. Shida returns with two kendo sticks to get a bit of revenge. Have a couple of two counts, including one where Hayter was about to win and Baker pulls the ref out of the ring. In the end, Storm hits a DDT on Hayter for the win. I gave this one a 1.5 count.
I gave it a 1.5 count as well. Some interesting bits. The old injury back, go backstage, you know, and then comes back out and gets the offense on. I feel like we've seen that before in AEW a little bit.
Gets a good pop.
It does get a good pop. And then obviously they're teasing the rift between Hayter and Baker. It was an every woman goes match. So, I mean, she didn't do anything wrong. Hayter wasn't happy about it. But yeah. Tony Storm gets the win. Aussie.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. And I think Hayter actually came off looking pretty good in that match too.
Yeah, she did.
As for who challenges Storm, I guess it depends on how long Thunder Rose is out. Ty and Anna are the ones who are just
same sort of
just sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. just circling. They could be in there without taking the title, but still challenging.
Or what about this? Hayter gets a title shot because she wins a match or something, gets a title shot, and then Britt really costs her the title. And then that causes to those two a full-on rift.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, let's move on again. We had Jungle Boy and Christian Cage, another very surprising one. Christian made his entrance. Jungle Boy made his. He looked to call out Luchasaurus to his corner, but Luchasaurus came out of the other tunnel and attacked him, slammed him on some metal grates, powerbombed him through a table, and then basically threw him to the lions to Christian, where he got the easy win after a spear and a kill switch. One count for me.
I gave it a one count, but I'm pretty sure I called this in the preview that
Luchasaurus
would turn on him. So I'm only giving it a one count because I called it. Otherwise, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So
you did. I mean, it wasn't a match, so we can't really rate it as a match.
I gave it a one count.
But great that Luchasaurus is heel. This bodes very well for the rivalry.
Yeah, definitely. He's way better as a heel.
Is the blow off Jungle Boy and Christian, or Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus?
I guess Jungle Boy Lucha. I guess Christian just sort of, he's manipulated Luchasaurus all this time and whatever else to do all this stuff, and that's what it's led to.
Yeah. All right. The American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, against Lionheart, Chris Jericho, are both supporting Jericho today. Two of the best ever to do it. Put on an absolute clinic. Both men kicking out of finishes, getting out of holes. Jericho ended up sealing the win after a low blow and then the Judas effect. Not a big fan of the Judas effect. I'll put it out there now. But yeah, so Jericho gets the win. I gave it a 2.5 count. I thought it was a great match. The finish let it down a little for me. That might have got it up to a 3, but still a bloody good match.
Yeah, 2.5 count for me as well. It felt like an old school match, but in a really good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the counters and just the false finishes and stuff like that. And they just both look brilliant. Yeah. They are two of the best to do it. So, I mean, but yeah, you know, props to Jericho. I agree, Judas Effect, not a favorite of mine. I wish he had pulled out the Lion Tamer or the Lion Salt or something like that to win it. That would be great. But, I mean, the Judas Effect to win, it is what it is.
And we get to see it again next week. And they face up on Dynamite in the title tournament. So that will be fun. We then had the House of Black and against Miro, Darby Allin, and Sting. This felt like a popcorn match, despite all the great names being in it. In the end, Sting spit some black mist into Malachi Black's face, which allowed Allin to get the pin. I actually gave it a one count.
I gave it a 1.5. I thought it was still all right. Miro dominated early, and then Darby just got thrown around like a rag doll, as he does brilliantly. The House of Black just dominated for that next bit. And then obviously, you know, the mist from the icon, as they like to call him, was fun. So, yeah, 1.5 count for me.
All right, Benny, here's a question for you. What happens with House of Black now? Is it done?
With Black gone, yeah. Well, they can't be House of Black, can they? There's no Black there.
Yeah, that's true.
Alistair's gone, and Malachi's gone. So I think they have to rework them. They're both two good stars. So, I mean, it's just a matter of where they go.
Do they replace Black with Miro?
It was funny because I was just going to say Miro could make a great tag team.
Yeah. But I mean, Brody King is...
Brody's huge.
Great as himself. So maybe we just don't need... Because they've still got... I don't know. That's a tough one.
Buddy would be a great little running mate for MJF.
Yeah. Maybe they just stay as House of Black and they just don't have Alistair Black.
Just in his memory.
Yeah, interesting. We then have the final match of the evening, the AEW World Championship match, Jon Moxley and CM Punk. Great back and forth. Both men got the upper hand at times. Mox got a close 2 count after countering a GTS to a Death Rider. Punk fought back, hit 2 GTSs to get the win. With Punk celebrating, lights went out. We hear a voicemail from Tony Khan saying he wanted this person back and that he'd pay him. And the Joker came out to reveal himself as MJF and that he's coming for the title. I gave this a 2.5 count. I thought the match was probably a 2. The MJF reveal got the extra half for me, 2.5. I thought it was, I was surprised. I thought Punk gave a lot to this match from, you know, his previous matches haven't been as good.
Yeah, I gave it a 2 count. I think it was really weird considering that last match and what happened in that last match and how it was 3 minutes or whatever else. And
yeah,
But I guess now how it's worked with MJF coming in and the booking makes sense a little bit. But it was still a great match. We got color, which of course we knew we were going to get color.
As soon as Punk was wearing white, you knew there was going to be color.
Exactly. He was, yeah, it just it worked brilliantly.
And seeing Mox bite at his head.
He was just chewing on him. Like it was, yeah. It was gross. That was, yeah.
Licking the blood. Yeah.
Mox is weird, but it looked like they really hated each other halfway through that match. And the crowd was split.
Yeah.
The crowd were booing and then cheering and cheering and booing. You just couldn't keep up with it. But two count for me. It was a great match. And yeah. MJF reveal was just brilliant.
Yeah. Fun stuff. So Punk no longer has the title. Mox is in the tournament. MJF is going to feud with the winner, who I think is going to be Bryan Danielson. Or do they hold off until Punk's out for 6 months? That's too long to wait.
For the MJF payoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it comes back the other way. Punk comes back as a heel, as MJF's got the title as a baby.
There you go. Okay. That was All Out. Whew. What a lot to get through from AEW. And we're not done yet. It is time for our heat magnet draft, Benny. Now, you get to draft first this week. So we're going to pick guys who just can't help but get backstage heat. This is going to be a fun one.
My first pick, I don't know if I'm blurring the rules here. You can tell me if I'm allowed it or not, but my number one pick is The Click.
Well, I don't know, because I don't think you can. I think you've got to pick one. Because those guys could all go in individually.
Very true. I've got them in a lot of spots as well, just in case. All right. Well, if that's the case and you're not going to give me the click, I'm going to take JBL as number one.
JBL. He was on my list. His backstage stuff with the Blue Meanie and...
He just gets like... There's a lot of bad shit going on with him.
Absolutely. JBL. Good pick. I'm gonna have to take CM Punk with my number one pick.
Yeah, it's fair.
He is a heat magnet, whether it's AEW, whether it's WWE. He seems to just rub people the wrong way a lot.
They don't like him. No. All right, my next pick. Ooh, there's so many on this list. I'm gonna go with Enzo Amore. Enzo was a heat magnet. He just knew how to rub every single person the complete wrong way.
He got kicked out of a tour bus, right? Out the ring.
Yeah.
He got kicked out of a tour bus in Europe for talking loud on his phone and, you know, disparaging other wrestlers. Another guy I love.
Yeah,
but...
he was never a fan in the locker room. So
No, that's a great pick. I'm going to take Nash with my next one. Rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in WWE when he was with Shawn Michaels, and then did the same in WCW when he was booking for the boys.
I was going to say, especially once he took the book over at WCW, that was,
Kevin Nash with my second pick.
Well, on that sort of wavelength then, I'm going to go with Hogan, mainly from his WCW days. You know, he took that big money. Even when he came back to WWE in the mid-90s, you know, he rubbed them all the wrong way when he said he had creative control. He got that win over Yokozuna when Bret Hart had the title. He went to WCW, took the book a little bit, and just creative control is what ruined the backstage for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. All right, Hulk Hogan with the third pick. I'm going to take Goldberg with my third pick.
He was next on the list.
He's had problems with Jericho. He's had problems with Riddle, and he had a lot of problems in WCW with, working very stiff, injuring people. I don't think Bret Hart's ever forgiven him.
Still hasn't. Goldberg came out last month and said, I've apologized that many times, I've given up apologizing.
Yeah. So yes, Goldberg for me.
Great pick. Well, you mentioned this person just then feuding with Goldberg, and I'm going to go with Jericho. Backstage in WCW, he caused a lot of problems, hence why he got out of there, went to WWE, come over to WWE, and everyone was like, who's this bloke? What's he doing? He wasn't a fan favorite, a backstage favorite at all when he first got there. But now he's one of the GOATs. So, I mean, probably still rubbing people the wrong way in AEW, though.
Yeah, that's a good pick, I think he's good now. I think he's figured out the politics of it all now, but... Certainly in WCW when he started with WWE, a lot of people were not fans.
I think he's not rubbing people in his own backstage the wrong way, though. Now he's with AEW. He's rubbing everybody in the industry the wrong way.
Yeah.
The way he talks about it and stuff. So he's still keeping it up a little bit.
Yeah. With my fourth pick, I'm going to take Melina. Now, there are a lot of stories going around about Melina backstage. She did not get along with any of the female wrestlers, had problems with Trish Stratus, made plenty of them cry. I think they had a tally on how many people she made cry.
Wow.
Was not a favorite in the backstage with the other girls, Melina. I mean, I'm sure she's figured her stuff out now. WWE brought her back for certain things, but when she was kind of big in WWE for a while, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, great pick. Great pick. Oh, see, now my last pick. I've got a few to just choose from. And I haven't taken any other Click members now, so I'm just a bit weird about that. But I'm going to take... I'm going to take Triple H. Yeah, the only reason I'm taking Triple H, though, is when he first, you know, marrying the boss's daughter and getting with the boss's daughter, that really affected everyone. When he was running around with Shawn back in the day, you know, they sort of, and then obviously running around with the Click, that sort of really rubbed everybody the wrong way. But now he's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, same could be said. I'm not going to take it with my pick five, but Shawn Michaels, same thing could be said for him. Yeah, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way early in his career, and now he's, you know, everyone's favorite. Yeah. I'm going to go a little bit outside of the box and just show how one event can turn a whole locker room against you. I'm going to take Daniel Puder.
He's literally on my list. I was tossing him up.
Daniel Puder, shoot. Almost broke Kurt Angle's ankle.
Ankle, yeah.
And then he came out at Royal Rumble and everyone just beat the absolute tar out of him.
Well, it was Eddie, the person we don't talk about, and Hardcore Holly. And yeah. They just literally ruined him.
Yeah.
And he took it, though. He took it, but they really gave it to him.
Yeah.
It's a great pick, though. I was tossing up to put him on my list, and then I thought I'd keep him as an honorable mention.
One move just turned the entire locker room against him.
Yeah, 100%. Crazy. Yeah,
great stuff. All right. So who's your honorable mentions, Benny?
I have people like Randy Orton, Nia Jax, Baron Corbin, MJF, The Miz, just to name a few.
It's a few people again. I did have The Miz, though. I have felt bad for The Miz because, you know, he got kicked out of the locker room for months for eating chicken over Chris Benoit's bag or something and leaving crumbs in it. So he kicked him out of the locker room. He wasn't allowed to return for months. So I think he holds a lot of animosity to a lot of the guys in the locker room who aren't there now. And it probably wasn't deserved, the heat that he was getting. Also, he came from the reality TV background, which I think didn't like. Yeah. Matt Riddle's rubbed a few people the wrong way.
Yeah.
I had Eddie Kingston. Seems like everyone's got issues with Eddie Kingston.
I've got Eddie on my list.
Or Eddie Kingston has issues with everyone else.
Yep.
It kind of seems more that way. And Terry Taylor was a name that came up a lot. He got the Rooster gimmick because he had heat with the boys in the back already.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was at WCW, he had a lot of heat backstage there as well.
There was one more, I thought, but... it was Owen Hart, but that was just because of all the ribs that he used to do on everybody. So
yeah.
It caused heat, but a lot of people loved him for it as well. So that's why I left him off the list.
It was good-natured heat.
It was, but it caused a lot of issues at times.
He did. Yeah. He's that annoying little brother.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
All right. So there it is. That is our backstage heat magnets. Benny's got JBL, Enzo Amore, Hulk Hogan, Chris Jericho, and Triple H. I have CM Punk, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, Melina, and Daniel Puder. So we will post them up on the socials in the next week or so. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of heat. It's a lot of fire coming off these picks we've got this week. I can feel the heat. But that is it for our show today. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back in a few weeks. We're going to preview Extreme Rules, talk all the latest news, and, of course, we'll have another 3-count draft. Benny, once again, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, Dylan. It was a big pleasure today. Massive show. Loved it.
And we'll see you again next time on the 3-Count Podcast. 1, 2, 3.